Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice or different cultures. Today, my visitor is Marion Hend. Marion, a warm welcome and hi to my to our radio program.
Good morning.
Marion is a real Aucklander and she's a Jin-Jin-Jitsu student. I hope that I pronounce it right. Marion, a few weeks ago you came to a program for which your group hired a meeting room at our Mercy Spirituality Center. It was a program for which the participants came from all over the country, as well as from the other side of the ditch from Macau, and even from Stewart Island. Can you tell us more about this program?
Yes, it's not actually such a thing as a program, but before we get too started, I want all the listeners and Beata to immediately hold a finger. Really fast, you've got to hold a finger. And then we will go from there, because what you're now doing is actually all about what I'm going to tell you. We came to the centre in the drive at Epsom. It's got some wonderful old trees at the front, so if anybody's a botanist, go and have a look at their trees. They're great. They've got off-street parking. Great. It's a Lockwood building. Great. And really, really nice premises, and we all enjoyed ourselves very much. Jin-Shin-Jitsu is a Japanese phrase, and you can immediately forget it if you even heard it. It is universal, and what you are now doing, holding your finger, is everything about Jin-Shin-Jitsu. Mostly I don't tell people what it's called because they switch off immediately. The beauty of Jin-Shin-Jitsu is that when you do it is now. Anytime, anywhere. The only place you've got to be a bit careful is if you do it in a traffic jam or in a queue at the lights, you must be very careful to keep your eye on the traffic lights. Because if they go green and you have reduced yourself to a very relaxed state, you will be horned from behind and that will make you rather stressed. So where you do it is where you are. You can be in a library, you can be in a waiting room, you can be on a bus, you can be on a train, you can be in an interview, you can be in one of the many, many meetings that people now spend their lives in. You can be watching TV, you can be listening to a story which an elderly relative has probably told you at least 1,000 times in your lifetime and you no longer listen to, and you can just hold a finger. Now, you're holding your finger, but what's important is not to hold your breath. So while you're holding your finger, you're being very nice to it, you've just got your fingers wrapped around and you let your shoulders go. Where do they go? The floor, preferably. And as you let your shoulders go, you will notice you sag. And Jin-Shin-Jitsu is the ultimate couch potato sport. So I can really recommend it for anybody who's sick of being told to take up sport. Jin-Shin-Jitsu, everything you've got is in your hands. And what happens for everybody, and you probably by now you've realised that somebody forgot to give you a manual when you were born. It's a bit like the dishwasher, the fridge, the computer, the TV, the car, the electronic car keys. How do you make it work? Well, you have to figure it out. With Jin-Shin-Jitsu, you don't even have to worry about that because your manual is in your hands. And if you're a Latin scholar, you'll know that manus is hand. Guess what? That's where your manual is. Now, who can do it? Well, actually, you can do it. Don't worry about telling everybody else about it. They're only going to listen to you if they can see you've got a benefit. Why would you do it? It's so you can be more comfortable in your own skin. And who can tell if you're comfortable in your own skin? You can. Does anybody else need to know? Not really, but they'll benefit because guess what? you probably won't act towards them the way you customarily do. So, what else would you like to know?
Well, it was a very interesting and nice description of what this. It's an art. You say it's not a program. It's an art of relaxation. How would you say it in two words or three words?
Jin Shin Jitsu is a philosophy.
It's a philosophy.
Now, if you can't spell it, that's fine. You'd be quite surprised how many different ways there are of spelling that. It doesn't matter. Philosophy is simply a way of being. And Jin Shin Jitsu is all about the art. Jitsu is just Japanese for art. And it's the way of being. Now, as you know, they send people to art school. And at the other end of the art school, all they've been taught is techniques. They come out the other end and they all do different art. Some of them do sculpture, some of them do photography, some of them do paintings. But they're all artists. So we go into the our world as would-be artists and we all come out different. We learn techniques. Jin Shin Jitsu is not a technique, but really useful to know how to do it. It's a bit like cooking. You can be given a dozen eggs and told to make an omelette. Well, do you take the shells off? Do you beat them? What do you do with them? So the techniques are quite useful. And with Jin Shin Jitsu, if you want to, you can, from now on, you know everything you need to know. You just work your way through each finger. Philosophy, incidentally, is not religion. Don't get confused about that. There are international instructors of Jin Shin Jitsu. We are lucky we get one a year. And they come from all different religions. We've had Jewish instructors. We've had Catholic instructors. We've had all sorts of ones. I'm not quite sure what they are. But they all get into Jin Shin Jitsu and they all live it. And we don't need to get into any sort of competing and comparing. Jin Shin Jitsu is very much not about competing and comparing. And if you have a tendency to judge people, it just means your index finger needs a bit of help.
And for those of you who just tuned in and you're wondering what program this is, well, this is Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora, Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Marian Hind, and she is explaining us about a special philosophy where we just need our hands. Is that right? Or do you have more than the hands? Because you said the manual is in your hands.
Correct. If you observe little children, they quite often hold their toes. They're a bit advanced. They're also more flexible than we are. And indeed, they even suck their toes. You probably know children who suck their thumb. Don't stop them. Just point out it's actually more effective if they hold their thumb. Now, what the thumb does is it actually settles down the attitude of anxiety. It also calms your stomach. And little kids who suck their thumb, they probably embarrass you and themselves, but they know what they need because they're actually calming their anxiety. So teach them to hold their thumb, and you can point out to them it's much more hygienic and it won't embarrass people. But it's actually just as effective as sucking it.
And it's not so bad for your teeth.
And, well, yes, we won't get into those sorts of things. No competing, no comparing. There's nothing good or bad. Fundamentally, in life, you're either in balance or you're not. And it takes one breath to get out of balance. It takes a few more to get into balance. But somewhere between 0 and 20 minutes, you'll find, oh, things are fine again. And you'll get up and go on with your day. So just remember that. 0 to 20 minutes, you're somewhere on that range, and the more you practice it, the faster you are at adjusting. It's like coming over here this morning in the car. You do not put your foot on the accelerator, get up to 50 and stay there. You don't keep the steering wheel fixed in one place. You're always constantly adjusting to the road and the other people on the road and traffic lights. Life is like that. You live it And our great tool is our breathing. For most people, they stop listening at that point. Oh, that's too easy. And anyway, we know how to breathe. Well, you'd be quite surprised how few people do know how to breathe. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to focus on your fingers.
And a couple of weeks ago, I did a few interviews on miracles. And did you experience some miracles by when people try to concentrate more on breathing, as you said, and on their hands, fingers?
The interesting thing about the miracles, it comes up in class quite often, used to come up much more. And I would listen to these people and think, what are they talking about? And I've seen things happen with Jinshin Jutsu, and people say, oh, wow, how did that happen? Wow, it must be a miracle. And I just say, I don't know how it happened. I've got no idea what a miracle is. And actually, I don't need to know, because if it works, who cares? It's just like the car. If it stops, I'm stuck. But if a AA truck comes along and they fix it, am I going to say, oh, wow, what a miracle? Possibly.
Marian, there's a book called The Touch of Healing by Alice Burmeister, and there are some healing miracles that are described. How would you explain this? You said with miracles, you say that you don't know if that's a miracle, but what happens if people say, well, how did it happen? And you just say, I don't care?
I remember reading once about, I won't say the name because actually it seems to upset some people, because he was a famous politician during the Second World War. He said that he lived to be very old. In life, people sometimes fall over the truth. Most people pick themselves up and hurry off as fast as they can. The man who rediscovered Jinshin Jutsu, he was the one who named it that. The name was provisional. This happened in 1912, and his name was Jiro Murai. He was a civil engineer in Japan. Don't think he ever left Japan. He got very sick. He came from a medical family, and he was told he was terminal. His brother was a doctor. His father was a doctor. Tokyo University professors all assessed him. No, you're terminal. Anyway, he got very interested in miracles. And he studied all the major religions. He was a very, very bright man, heavily into mathematics. He studied and studied and studied, and fundamentally what he needed was a miracle. So in the end, when he could no longer walk, he was carried up into the mountains to a family cabin that they had. Family didn't want to do that because he was dying. And he stayed there, and he apparently did a sitting meditation, and he was holding his fingers in certain ways. And some of you will have heard about mudra, which are Indian. There's hundreds of them. And he got colder and colder and colder and lost consciousness, came back into consciousness, and he very stoically, he was only 26 then, thought he was dying. And then on the seventh day, suddenly he felt as though he'd been thrown into a furnace. His whole body burnt. He was burning. A storm was raging. And just as suddenly, everything stopped. All the effects stopped. And he waited, and he suddenly realized he had no more symptoms. And he was weak because he'd only had water for a week. And what he did was, the story goes, he fell to his knees and he vowed that he would devote the rest of his life to discovering what had happened. He had encountered the truth, and he didn't get up and hurry away. He decided he wanted to know why. And he died in 1960. And we do Jinshin Jutsu now because of that one man's tenacity, intellectual curiosity, and desire to find out what he had quite accidentally discovered. Now, I've probably got way away from your question.
So that's about 48 years later that he had that he passed away then?
Yeah, he died in 1960.
So how did he write it down, his experiences?
No, he did not write it. This was all coming from an oral tradition.
Yeah.
As the Eastern traditions are, and normally they have a disciple. Now, the lady who wrote the book was the daughter-in-law of the woman who became Jeremiah's disciple. Mary Eno, she was born in the States, American citizen, but Japanese parents, suffered huge discrimination because the Japanese weren't exactly top of the pops in America during the war. That's all coming out now, even now, still with the internment camps they had in Japan and America for Japanese. She went to Japan with her father, and guess what? She was discriminated against there because she looked and sounded American, though she, you know, she wore American clothes. She sounded American, though she spoke Japanese. She was discriminated against there. So she was a person between two worlds, and that's probably familiar to many, many people in New Zealand because we're basically almost all of us immigrants.
So what happened to this man? He didn't have any specific religion. He was interested in all kind of religions. And when he was healed, he tried to find out what it was. And that's when he came to the point where he was involved in...
In Japan, they have, as I understand it, it's they're mostly interested in animism, which means there's basically a spirit in everything. And he was coming from that background, but he had such intellectual curiosity, he was willing to look at everybody's point of view and study deeply. But the interesting thing about the miracles is most people, when they have one probably happen to them, they're not interested in how. They're just interested in, oh, wow, that's fantastic, and then usually they forget all about it. And I can give you a story about that. A number of years back, I met a lady. She was then 83, and she lived in New Zealand for 30 years. She was from Germany, and I'd never met her before. I knew some of her much younger relatives, and she decided when her husband died in New Zealand that she was going to go back to Germany to live with her sister. Well, that, I think, lasted probably 3 weeks, 3 months. Wasn't successful when you've got somebody that age who's... she was a scientist. A very successful woman. So over the years, she ended up having a series of strokes. And she became paralysed. And the doctors told her she would never walk again. And that was not something you said to that lady, because she was not that sort of woman. She wasn't going to take anybody's assessment of her. When I met her, she was walking. She had travelled halfway around the world. It was about 5 years after the series of strokes had started. She still walked with a cane, mostly for her self-confidence. The problem was her friends in New Zealand, who hadn't seen her for all those years, thought she'd forgotten English. She had such a heavy accent, they couldn't understand her. She was hugely embarrassed. It was the stroke. She couldn't speak properly. So she was very frustrated. So I offered to give her a Jin Shin Jutsu session, and it's a number of years ago now, and I was so enthusiastic, and I thought, oh, wow, wow, somebody with a speech defect. Wow, this is great. So I offered, and the next day I went along and gave her a treatment, and she said very little because she was embarrassed about speaking. I said very little because I was focused on whether this was going to work or not. Never done it before. So we were introduced, and my friend beats a hasty retreat. She didn't want to be part of it. Leaves us there in the sitting room. My victim basically sits down on the couch. Very prim lady, very prim, very proper. I kneel on the floor on a cushion, take my watch off, put it on the floor. I decided what I was going to do. It was a right side stroke. Didn't have any conversation with her apart from checking, is it right side? Yes, fine. So we sit there, she sits there, and I'm kneeling, and I'm watching the time on my watch. and absolutely nothing happened. And just to explain what I was doing, I was actually holding her ankle and her opposite, her little toe on the same foot, on her left foot. I'm kneeling there and thinking, this is so embarrassing. There is no pulse in this lady's foot. It might just as well be a lump of wood. And nothing's happening and nothing happening. And I'm thinking, well, it's lucky she doesn't want to say anything because I'm just getting more and more embarrassed. And I think, all right, trust it, check your shoulders, let your shoulders go. And incidentally, you're all holding a finger, aren't you? Yeah, I knew you weren't. Or hold one. And all of a sudden, I had the most amazing experience, and she did too. It was like the two bones, and I'm going to show you better, like the two leg bones suddenly, violently moved like that. And I thought, wow, nobody's ever told me about that. And in a fraction of a second, suddenly I had a pulse in the fingers of one hand. And I thought, well, perhaps this stuff really works. And I thought, well, persevere. I didn't say anything. And there was the tiniest little popping sound in the lady's stomach. She might not have even heard it. I did. 3 more minutes. We'd got up to 15 minutes by now, so you can imagine. 15 minutes. 3 more minutes. Same thing happened. The leg bones went less violently, and the miracle happened. There was a pulse in both hands. And I left that for about another minute until the pulses in both hands were like a tennis match. And it starts in the left hand and it goes to the right hand, and it's like plonk, 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 plonk. And that was the energy. And I went away and that was fine. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It came back and the place was like a beehive. All the relatives had come. They were taking her back down to Auckland. Her speech had come back.
So there was a blockage somewhere.
It was an energetic blockage.
Yeah.
And do you know what she wanted to know? She said, I'm going back to Germany. I've got 38 hours travelling. What can I do for myself on the plane? I told her about fingers. She said, now, does anybody do it in Germany? I said, yes, Germany's full of Jin Shin Jitsu practitioners. She said, good, I'm going to get my physio who treats me regularly. I'm going to send him to class. He can learn this and he can treat me. But her speech had come back. One treatment. Mm-hmm. Is that a miracle? Don't know.
Well, the other day I had Brother Kieran Fenn here who said the first miracle was creation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really applies here also, because it the way that different body parts are in connection, that is the miracle of creation.
Mm. Yeah, this is very much about creation. It's about energy. What we're dealing with is the effects in physics terms is as energy slows down, you get matter. And with your breathing, you're recreating yourself in every breath, and every breath has got two parts. It's an exhale and an inhale. Exhale, inhale. Exhale, inhale. It's two parts. And that you can do Jin Shin Jitsu just breathing. If you're totally paralyzed, you can just breathe and you can do Jin Shin Jitsu. No fingers.
And that's again, that reminds me again of the creation story, because God breathed life in Adam. And so the breath of life is really important. And yeah, we had also Father Peter, who was here, and he talked about meditation, and he said to relax and don't forget to breathe.
Actually, the breathing bit brings everything else with it.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many people actually, they tense their shoulders up and they stop breathing and then they fall asleep on their computer. They just stop breathing. And if they breathe, what happens? Try it yourself. Exhale, exhale all the way down the front of your body to your toes. That's the exhale. Inhale from the toes all the way up the back of the calves, the thighs, the back to the base of the skull. That is the inhale. And as you do that in your own body, feel what happens to you. What moves? What happens to your shoulders?
Tell us, how long is has your training been? You're a student of Jin Jujutsu, but how long is your training? Because you've already doing work.
The training's an inapt word to use for Jin Jujutsu. Because it's a philosophy, you actually don't train as such. I have been a student for 18 years, and every time I go to a class, I realise how little I know. And you'll find that as life goes on, the more you find out, the more you realise you don't know. So you should become much more flexible and open to other people's points of view. But if you're wanting to go to classes, get input from people who are highly knowledgeable and studying it, we're lucky in New Zealand because we get the class once a year. It's 5 whole days. I suggest that unless you're really up for that, you're much better to do it for yourself for quite a while till you satisfy yourself that actually you are feeling different. And quite often, if you just do your fingers every day, my dad learned, he was 89 and a half, he started at age 89 and a half. After 3 months, one of my relatives who lived next door to him, she said, "I don't understand it. John's looking so cheerful and he's so happy." He'd never told them what he was doing. Every day, he held each finger for 5 minutes by his clock. He said, "Oh, I kept losing track. So now I put the clock beside my lazy boy chair. 5 minutes, every finger." And then he confessed, "Sometimes I've got to get out, get to the shop and get my groceries. So I do one hand in the morning and one hand in the afternoon. And then if it's rugby at night, I don't count. I just do all the fingers while I'm watching the rugby on the big screen." So 89 and a half, and he continued doing it until he was nearly 96.
Yeah, so it shows also that you need also some quiet time. You concentrate on your fingers, but also your breathing in and out. And, I think that's wonderful.
Concentration is not necessary. It's great for doing when you're listening to somebody who bores you witless, because you can do it so inconspicuously with your hands under the table or in your lap, and you're looking as though you're concentrating, your mind's away with the fairies, and you're doing Jin Shinjutsu, and they're happy and you're happy, and you come away thinking, "Oh, that was great, I was so relaxed."
Thank you very much, Marion, for these recommendations. And thank you for coming to the radio station and for explaining a little bit more about this philosophy. And now we've come to the end of the interview, but I'd like to also tell the listeners what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center. Well, our programs for the year 2018 have almost finished. Well, our programs, the last program has just finished. So we are starting back in February. In January, we'll have our annual sabbatical program for senior sisters. But on the 16th of February, from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., we'll have Sarah Cooper, who's coming to facilitate a retreat day with the title "Rediscovering Wholeness in Life in Christ: How Gratitude Opens the Way." And 1 week later, we'll offer a morning with Father Chris Skinner, who will share and teach a number of his musical settings to Psalms with the theme of gratitude. The music workshop will take place at St. Columba Center in Vermont Street, Ponsonby, on Saturday, the 23rd of February, from 10 to 1 o'clock. And on the 22nd and 23rd of February, Margaret Bowater will facilitate an introduction into dream work. So you realize our theme for next year is gratitude. So we have a lot of programs about gratitude. And for all our events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Thank you very much, Marion, for having come. And I wish everybody a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Beata.
Thank you.